We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We think Dallas could emerge from this actually a stronger city in the long run, although we are going to experience some pain in the meantime.
We need to get started, and I hope that's the first week of May.
If everyone were to rush the doors and go back into the job market overnight, we would see an outbreak of COVID-19 again.
We've moved around 450 people from other departments into unemployment insurance services.
We can hope the bug goes away tomorrow or very, very soon. But even if it does, it's going to take time to rebuild.
The impact the coronavirus has had in North Texas has been sweeping, multifaceted. I mean, not only have we lost lives due to COVID-19, we have lost jobs. And that is what we are talking about this week here on KRLD In Depth. Welcome in. I'm John Little. In the past 3 weeks, an estimated 750,000 Texans have filed unemployment claims. Yeah, that's right. 750,000 people. And the Texas Workforce Commission is still getting overwhelmed with calls and visits to their website. It is no wonder that people are wondering, as the curve hopefully is starting to flatten, what can we do to get the economy on the comeback trail? At a GOP town hall meeting, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick said he hopes that businesses can reopen by mid-May. Patrick pointing out while the outbreak has been bad in Texas, it has been worse elsewhere.
New York won't be ready to do that. But, you know, when we had a big hurricane here in Texas, we didn't ask New York to shut down. They have a crisis in New York, but we shouldn't have to shut down. We should be able to go when we can go at a measured pace.
Patrick said any reopenings would come slowly. Now, Governor Greg Abbott was pressed about thinking in terms of reopening the economy, and he's giving it some thought on what it would take.
The way that this all works is we all have a desire to get things going as quickly as possible. But we also have a desire to make sure that it's done in ways that are safe. Understanding if everyone were to rush the doors and go back into the job market overnight, we would see an outbreak of COVID-19 again. And that's exactly why I'm issuing the executive order establishing what the statewide standards will be in the coming days about what the approach is. And these are standards, again, that we've been working in conjunction with the White House on. To make sure that we are following the suggestions and ideas of the CDC, as well as Dr. Fauci, Dr. Birx, as well as the president himself and the vice president himself, as well as the economic advisors, Mnuchin, and others, and then also in consultation with Dr. Hellerstedt. Understand that we all want Texans to go back to work as quickly as possible, and we will do so. Texas has always led economically. We will lead economically in response to the aftermath of COVID-19, but we will understand that we will do so in ways that protect lives and promote the livelihoods of our fellow Texans.
But as we've heard, and we keep telling ourselves by the day over and over, this is going to pass. This is going to pass. It is going to get better. So how's it going to get better? Well, the first Texas city to put plans in place for a task force specifically for economic recovery was the city of Dallas. Mayor Eric Johnson has a plan, and he's got a man to head that plan, too. KRLD's David Rankin had a one-on-one with Mayor Johnson.
You have to plan a task force like this for something that may not happen for a couple of months. What's the planning like to put a task force together like this, and how long has this been in the planning stages?
Well, I've been thinking about this since the day we first took our first emergency action that was going to affect the economy. So, you know, this started off with canceling a St. Patrick's Day parade, right? And then it progressed to shutting down bars and restaurants, and then obviously we eventually got to stay at home. But you know, when we first started doing these things, I knew that the impact on our economy was going to be significant. No one knows how significant, but it's pretty clear it's going to be, you know, at least on par with what we went through in 2008 with that recession, probably more impactful than that, 9/11, or anything we can remember in recent history. So it became clear to me then that while we had to, on one hand, deal with the pandemic itself and the public health aspects of this, that we needed to start planning for the economic recovery. And my goal is not just to have Dallas recover. It's to have Dallas recover quickly and lead the nation in the recovery. I want us to come back stronger than ever, and I want us to be one of the first, if not the first, city in the United States to come back from this. And so I'm working on this now.
How did you pick Richard Fisher to head up this task force?
Well, I think this type of a problem, something of this magnitude, something of this complexity, you don't mess around. You don't make a political choice. You don't put someone in the position, you know, for whom this is their first rodeo. You put someone in who's experienced. You put someone there who is a good communicator, someone who's got a good diversity of experience, who understands the economy, who understands our local economy in particular. And I can't think of anyone better than Richard Fisher. I mean, the man, if you know him, he's brilliant. He's a great communicator. He's got the respect of the private sector. He's got the respect of the public sector. He knows how to look at the big picture and keep the big picture in mind. And he can bring people to the table who have, because of who he is and because of the respect people hold him in, we will get the best of the best on this task force to help us out. And that's what had to happen. I was willing to do whatever it took to get someone of his caliber to take this on, because we are going to need everyone. And we're going to need very, very hardworking and talented people working on this problem. And Richard fits that bill.
Will the task force have some independence that they don't necessarily have to go to get permission from the Dallas City Council for everything that they want to implement?
That's correct. The task force is not limited to looking at issues of city government. That's the reason why I formed it. It's separate and apart from the two committees that I formed of the Dallas City Council, which are chaired by council members Casey Thomas and Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Adam Magoo. Those committees are focused on city government and city responses to COVID, both from a human standpoint and from a business standpoint. But they are focused on the city. This task force that Mr. Fisher is going to be heading up is bigger than that in its scope. It has to take every factor into consideration in terms of crafting a plan for our city's recovery, and it has to look at the entire economy in every sector. I mean, we have to look at our small businesses, our financial institutions, our major corporations, the service industry, our nonprofits, the medical community, our transportation and infrastructure entities. We have to look at our educational institutions. I mean, the list is long, it's complex, and I think Mr. Fisher is uniquely qualified to bring all of those voices together in a symphony that he's going to help us conduct and bring about a quick recovery for our city, as quick as possible, I should say.
And again, that's the operative word, quick, because you've got, you know, hundreds of thousands, millions of people all over the Metroplex that are staying at home, trying to socially distance, trying to work from home in a lot of cases, and they're itchy, they're antsy to get out and get back to normal. This task force is probably going to get a lot of pressure from the public to make things quick. How quick is realistic?
Well, you know, it's impossible to even know when we're going to be through what I'd consider to be the eye of the storm from a health standpoint. So it's impossible to say even when we'll be able to start putting people back to work, because we don't know how long these stay-at-home orders are going to need to be in place. We're going to have to follow the guidance of our public health experts on that. But know this, the planning starts now. The planning, I've been thinking about this for a while. I've been working on COVID-related issues since late February, and I've found my man in Richard Fisher, and I think he is going to very quickly start putting together the task force in terms of who's going to serve on it. And they are going to begin the process of developing the strategies to get our economy not just back where it was before, but better than it was before. I want the people of Dallas to know that my goal is to make Dallas come out of this, however long it takes, a better city than it was before we went into it. As hard as that could be for some people to believe, we are going to try to bring back every business we possibly can that we had before, and even new ones. We're going to continue to push for new business, for corporations to relocate here. We think Dallas could emerge from this actually a stronger city in the long run, although we are going to experience some pain in the meantime.
Are you hearing from mayors of other cities about this particular task force and how they might be able to join in or form their own task forces?
I have heard from a few mayors within the past few days. Obviously, I just announced Richard Fisher's appointment today, so I haven't heard from any about that just yet. But I have heard from some mayors recently saying, Mayor Johnson, what do you think Dallas is going to do to try to make sure its economy opens up? We're trying to figure that out here. What's the approach? What are our strategies going to be to turn our economies back on? My approach is the way I've approached every problem, really, throughout my public service career. Put the very best people you can on the job, irrespective of any other consideration. We don't do the political deal. We don't do the partisan deal. This is about Dallas, and we're going to get the very best folks in a room, and we're going to come up with a solution to put our city back to work.
From your time in Austin, you obviously know the governor and have worked with the governor with your time in state government. Have you heard from Governor Abbott about this task force, and has he made any comments?
He's not made any comments yet, but we have, of course, communicated to the governor's office that we are working on this and that the task force has been formed and that Richard Fisher is going to be chairing it. We've definitely let him know that, and we look forward to hearing from him. From what I know of the governor is very, very committed to Dallas's success. He's been here several times within the time I've been mayor, and he has always made it very clear that he believes that Dallas is the engine of North Texas, and that Dallas is part of the reason for the Texas miracle, and that I think he will be very supportive of any efforts that we come up with up here to get our economy turned back on.
How are you doing personally? This is, professionally and dealing with the entire city. How are you and your family doing?
I would like to say that, this is not a challenge that I ever anticipated I'd be dealing with as mayor, but I feel like I was built for this. I was born for public service, and this is what I have dedicated my life to doing, and it's an honor to be in this position to try to help my city through this very challenging time.
Well, we're all going through this in our own ways. That's Dallas Mayor Eric Johnson and how he is dealing with it. Of course, Mayor Johnson and his wife, Nikki, they are fortunate to have those jobs because the number of Texans that are losing their jobs during this crisis has been staggering. So we got an update this week from the Texas Workforce Commission. They have been knocked around with the volume of calls, just millions of them flooding into their phone lines and the hits to their website, as well as out-of-work Texans try to get their unemployment benefits. I chatted with Cisco Gomez from the TWC about their latest work to more efficiently get Texans these resources.
Certainly. We are making changes to help Texans in need, and some of those changes Texans are going to see happening right away. For instance, when we first started taking applications for unemployment insurance when COVID-19 started, we were working on 5 servers. We multiplied that to 10, working with the Department of Information Resources. And as of last night at 2 a.m., we actually added another 10 servers to handle the volume. So we're at 20 servers. So that should help some of the volume of people applying online and also requesting payment as well. So you should see a difference. People should start to see a difference. In addition, our call centers taking many calls coming in prior to COVID-19, we would average about 13,000 calls a day. The record number was 60,000 in a day, and we have seen calls coming in as much as 3 million in a single day. To put things in perspective, that's not the number of people filing, but the number of calls coming through. To handle that volume, we have 4 call centers at the Texas Workforce Commission throughout the state of Texas. We this week brought on an additional 2 third-party vendor call centers to help with some of those calls, and we're working on a third as well that may go online next week. We've moved around 450 people from other departments into unemployment insurance services. And we emergency hired about around 100 staff to work help work our call centers as well, and we're continuing to hire. So if anyone is interested, they can find those job postings at workintexas.com. There, in addition to our jobs, there are about 500,000 additional jobs on that website available in Texas for other companies.
And it really was just a case of, you know, overnight, you guys started getting slammed with this. And there's documentation that about 750,000 Texans have now filed claims just in the last 3 weeks, which is just a huge surge. How are people at the Texas Workforce Commission doing right now? How tough is it for the people that are working there right now?
So it's certainly all hands on deck. We're not working the normal 9 to 5 hours. We're working extended hours. We're working into the weekend. In fact, our call centers will now be answering calls from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. And starting Monday, they're going to be available 7 days a week. When this all started, it was we were taking calls Monday through Friday. Now and then we added a Saturday. And now starting Monday, we're going to be going 7 days a week. Certainly a lot of call volume, but we are working to help all those Texans in need.
Well, you can understand why those calls might overload a system that's normally 8 to 5 or 9 to 5. So that's definitely a good development for Texans that you're opening up those hours 7 days a week, and then also the 7 to 7 call center hours. Tell us about the latest developments on the website. There is basically a chat bot that you guys have added to the website. How has that started to help people who need to make claims?
That's certainly it's a tool that we're now using. It's available 24/7, available to answer questions about unemployment and insurance, unemployment benefits. I think since it started, it's helped over 175,000 Texans, and it's answered over 450,000 questions. Right now, it can help 20,000 users per second. Pretty cool little tool.
Has it been easier for people to get through here over the last week or so? It has you know, the call volume and telling people when to call or when to go to the website, has that helped ease things at all?
So with all the changes, we are seeing a drop in the number of missed calls. That said, we're continuing to work to help Texans in need. And I would like to say that for anyone who was still having trouble getting through, either online or over the phone, something to keep in mind is that your unemployment benefits, you're not just going to get them from the date that you apply. We are going to backdate those as far back as to March 8th. So we're looking at the date that you stop working, the day your hours were reduced, the day you might have been laid off, rather than the day that you are applying or get through. Mm. So just to help with that.
Well, that is great information. From the time that you do actually get through or complete that application, what is the average amount of time that it would take if you're eligible for money to arrive in your mailbox? Or I know you guys do direct deposit as well, if that's a possibility.
Yeah. So on average, it takes about 21 days to receive benefits. So for some people, they may see that a little bit faster. For others, it may take a little bit longer. It varies on a case-by-case basis, but on average, about 21 days for either direct deposit or a debit card in the mail.
I'm sure this changes all the time, but besides the number of jobs that the Texas Workforce Commission has that you're hiring, especially in your call centers, you do have a resource on your website for other organizations across Texas who are hiring if people have lost a job, correct?
That's correct. As of this morning, there are over 500,000 jobs available on workintexas.com. So if you're interested in looking for work, those jobs are posted, and you can see if there's something in your region.
That's Cisco Gámez with the Texas Workforce Commission. Again, I think the most important part of that interview was knowing that no matter when you actually get through to the TWC, your benefits will start backdated from when you lost your job. So that is one positive thing. But at the same time, if you can't get through, you can't start that 3 week window, right, of being able to get those benefits, that 21 day average of being able to get your benefits after you get through or after you complete your application online. So it is a race against time for sure. We appreciate Cisco joining us. And hopefully, we are getting close to the peak, not only of the virus, but the big job loss as well and the economic hardship because of COVID-19. And this recovery, it's going to be a long deal, but we will be here for you every single step of the way, covering it on 1080 KRLD. Thank you so much for listening to KRLD In Depth. I'm John Little. Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, including our radio.com app, and listen to us every day for breaking news on coronavirus, plus your traffic and weather. Take care.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.